Welcome to the weekend, everyone. This is the Lazy Bums podcast, and it's episode 27. We are the Lazy Bums. My name's Caleb Kalenda, and
I'm Abina Chalice.
And we're going to go ahead and get started here, maybe talk about some headlines that have grabbed us over the last week.
Starting off, we're going to talk about Lamar Miller, who recently signed with the Patriots. Hooray. Yeah. Hooray.
Patriots have been coming in with some big signings lately, and it's kind of felt like Belichick has been just sitting on his hands, waiting for Tom to leave to bring in these big guys and revitalize the team.
He's like the Wicked Witch of the West. He just like hides and slowly plots and then makes his move, and it's terrifying, but it's awesome.
He won't take a rebuild. That's just not in his portfolio. You know, he's not looking out for that. He wants to hit the ground running with a fresh quarterback.
We're looking at you, 76ers. No rebuild here.
Yeah. No process over in New England.
That's just how Philly teams roll, you know. Those guys, they love to lose.
They're big on losing to win, but they never win.
God, I hate every... Anyway, Philadelphia fans, I'm sorry. The Eagles, really? The Sixers?
Hey, anyway. Man, the Eagles won one against the Patriots, so we can't badmouth them too much.
Well, okay. The Patriots also won one against the Eagles.
Way so. Back.
Yeah, but anyway, off topic. Lamar Miller.
Right, Lamar Miller coming to the Patriots. Huge signing. I mean, we haven't had a running back like Lamar Miller in a pretty long time.
Yeah, who is, like, what, can you think of the last, like, A-list running back that the Patriots have had? Because, like, I mean... LeGarrette Blount.
Yeah.
That's not a good shot, though. Like, he's not A-list at all.
Well, he was A-list when he was with the Patriots.
Yeah, no one could stop LeGarrette Blount when he, you know, attacked the hole, but...
People are stopping him pretty easily now.
Yeah, he's gotten a little past his prime there. Lamar Miller is a great signing for the Patriots. He's been a great running back for the Texans. And earlier with Miami, obviously, he's racked up a couple of 1,000-yard seasons, and he's proven to be a great running back.
So last season with the Texans, kind of run me through his stats. How did he do?
So in his very last season, he only played 14 games, but he did finish with 973 yards and only 5 rushing touchdowns. That's kind of something that pops out at me when I look at Lamar Miller's statistics, is not a whole lot of rushing touchdowns.
Well, he's a small guy, and I think that in Miami they kind of utilized him to get the yards. You know, he's so fast. He just tears up defenses when he can just get a gap through the middle and tear up the field. I mean, he's elite when it comes to that. He's a really fast guy, but he's not really the guy you look to hand the ball off on the 2 or the 1 and punch it in for a touchdown. You know, he's smaller, you know, and I think that might contribute to why he doesn't get as many touchdowns.
How much do you think of his success can be attributed to also playing with Deshaun Watson and DeAndre Hopkins? Because if you look at Hopkins, he is arguably the best receiver in the NFL, and Deshaun Watson has shown us time and time again that he can deliver in clutch moments, and he is one of the greatest, like, young quarterbacks I've seen in a long time.
I can't think of very many highlights of Lamar Miller the Texans, you know, but I think that might have to do with the fact that he played with 2 elite guys on the offense. You know, that was kind of the Hop and Watson show for the years that he was there at Houston.
And, you know, maybe that's a little bit of the appeal that Bill Belichick has with him. If you look at Belichick, you know, he really likes these no-nonsense kind of guys. People who don't care about their names being in the media, they just show up to work every day and do their job. And Lamar Miller had, I guess you could say, he had the headline taken away from him with players like Deshaun Watson and DeAndre Hopkins, and it didn't take away from his production at all. He never came out and was like, you know, why don't I get enough credit?
And yeah, he's never really been the spotlight guy, you know, like, he's had great seasons and he's been up there in the conversation, but he's never really been that guy that people are like, hey, this is the best running back in the league.
And, exactly.
You know, and that's, you know, maybe something that would put a chip on a lot of people's shoulders, but I don't think it has with him. He's a really professional running back.
Exactly. And that mantra that the Patriots have of do your job, you know, don't try to do too much outside of your position and your capabilities at that position. And Lamar Miller really exemplifies that, I think. So I think it'll be really good to see him play within the Patriots system. I think he'll really thrive.
Yeah. It's a shame that I think that him and Rex Burkhead might make a really good partnership in that backfield, but Burkhead
unfortunately
obviously sitting out due to COVID. But I think any Patriots fan is certainly happy with the signing of Lamar Miller. Maybe not quite as excited as they were for
Cam Newton,
but Lamar Miller is definitely a huge signing and a huge piece in that offense.
In general, I think Patriot fans should be excited about what we've seen over this last offseason. We are used to Bill Belichick and the Patriots, you know, stealthily moving around and acquiring players that we've never heard of. But now they've really gone out and targeted some big names, and we see those guys really performing. For example, Stephon Gilmore. I mean, when we signed him, it was like one of the biggest names to sign with the Patriots since maybe Randy Moss. And he's performed so well.
Right.
So hopefully we see the same kind of success with these guys.
Something that I do want to mention about Lamar Miller is that he's also a great receiving back. He has a lot of receiving yards throughout his career. And he's also, I think, what really showed in his time with the Texans is how good he is at running the option. He's a great blocker, even though, you know, his size isn't up there. He's a great blocker, and he just reads the field so well, which is, again, a Patriots staple, you know. I think with Cam and his legs, like, they're going to be a great threat in the backfield when it comes to just running the ball straight out of the pocket.
So many more weapons this year with the Patriot offense that we haven't seen. Maybe we'll see a more dynamic offense that spreads the field a bit more instead of, you know, running these under center handoff plays that we see so much from the Patriots.
Whether or not Lamar Miller works out, we're excited to see what he does with New England.
Absolutely.
Huge signing, and the future of the Patriots is really looking bright, which is something that I can't really say about another team that I support to the ends of the earth.
Well, I don't think that you should necessarily say the future isn't bright. Maybe just the most, you know, upcoming future.
Yeah, the recent years. But, I mean, it's certainly, you can't really be optimistic about the future of your team when you've had success and success and success for a ridiculously extended period of time.
Right. In case you guys haven't figured out who we're talking about yet, it's the San Antonio Spurs.
Yeah, my team. I mean, you know, they've been successful for my entire life. They've been in the playoffs for my entire life. 22 years. I mean, I'm 19 years old. That's longer than I've been alive. I mean, they've been in the playoffs. And that's really something that I'm, like, thankful for the Spurs, but it's just tough. It was tough to watch them miss breaking the all-time record playoff streak. Missed it by one game.
I think the takeaway from this, though, is just a lot of NBA teams should study the San Antonio Spurs front office. The way that they were able to transition from David Robinson and a young Tim Duncan and the way that they ran those twin towers to a more, you know, passing, a very ball-sharing type of offense with Ginobili and Parker when they were added to the team.
Right.
And then eventually transitioning into when those guys were older and Kawhi was starting to take the lead a little bit more.
I think Kawhi's era of, you know, his Spurs era, I think that really was the best Spurs basketball that I've seen, at least. I mean, I vaguely remember when Duncan was younger and, you know, the main man in that offense. They would just feed him constantly and he'd be knocking them, you know.
He'd be knocking down bank shots. Yeah, let's be real, guys. He wasn't doing anything crazy.
Okay, but what was crazy was the efficiency at which he was knocking down those bank shots.
Of course.
There was a period of my life where I just, you know, couldn't remember the last time that he missed a shot. It was really like he just had it, you know. He had the touch for years and years and years, and it fell off eventually. I mean, it kind of fell off.
Felt like that before, though. Like, you just keep shooting and you don't miss.
You're weak.
Okay.
Anyway, Tim Duncan.
Trust me.
Tim Duncan is not.
I could probably hoop on Tim Duncan.
No one.
Okay,
could.
Anyway. He was a great player at one time, but he's old and his ankles are not holding.
Well, he's coaching for the Spurs now. He is. So it seems like he might be able to keep up a little bit.
That's a great move by the Spurs organization also. Tim Duncan is such a synonymous name with the Spurs franchise, and to see him coaching, I think, is just awesome.
And just the fact that we might see Pop transition into Tim Duncan. I just, that, like, that would make my, I mean, that would make my life. That would be amazing.
But talking about the Spurs again, this is the first time since 1996-97 season that the Spurs are going to finish with a losing record.
And therefore miss the playoffs.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's heartbreaking for anyone that is a San Antonio Spurs fan.
Well, let's be real. Like, it could be worse. Like,
sure.
Spurs fans have not, by no means, had it bad recently. You could have been like a Hornets fan. Imagine being a Hornets fan. Like, you're cheering for Michael Kidd-Gilchrist.
Well, I mean, I'm cheering for Bryn Forbes. I mean, that's not much.
Even the Nuggets, like, recently. The coolest thing about the Nuggets for so long was their mascot. He was crazy, you know. He used to, he used to run around and fly off things in the stadium, and like that was the most exciting thing about Nuggets basketball. And for Spurs fans, I mean, you guys have had 5 championships. Yeah. Like, come on.
A lot, yeah, certainly a lot of parades in San Antonio, but you know, I just it was heartbreaking to see Brady leave, and I think it's kind of the same kind of heartbreak that I'm feeling right now. I mean, you know. Well, I kind of the downfall of the Spurs great dynasty, you know, has been happening for the last few years since Kawhi left, and so it's kind of been like second nature at this point. You know, it's like the Spurs are going to lose. The Spurs aren't going to be a contender. But
yeah, we've probably seen this coming for
sure. But it was never. I mean, it was never in my mind that it was like, oh, Spurs are a bad team. You know, Spurs are a second half of the Western Conference team. Like, that thought never really crossed my mind until this season got into full swing.
I think they're a pretty middle of the pack team for sure right now in the West, but
I think they're a little lower than middle of the pack at the moment. I think that I really think the Spurs team is just mismanaged. Not mis-coached. I'm not saying anything bad about Pop, but you know, the contract situations aren't great. Obviously, the organization kind of forced Kawhi out. Not really, but we could talk about that in full length. But I mean,
yes, that would be a long podcast.
The Spurs organization definitely has some blame to take in that whole situation, and that's kind of what ticked off the downturn of the Spurs. And it really sucked to see Kawhi leave, and it sucks to see the Spurs miss the playoffs. But you know, I'm still a fan, still going to be a fan, and you know, we're going to kill it in the draft.
Yeah, I definitely think we'll see the Spurs bounce back. And a thought to leave you guys with is, now that the Spurs' 22-year streak has been snapped, the longest active streak is by the Houston Rockets with 8.
8 years. Compared to 22 years, that's a little insignificant, but 8 years is a really solid run.
Is nothing.
It's a solid run. Compared to 22, obviously it looks small, but it's a solid run. The Rockets should, you know, be praised for that.
Sure, but this is definitely a record, a tied record now, that I don't think we'll see broken for many, many years.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. We'll see who the next super team is. We'll see who the next best coach is. I mean, come on, you got Brad Stevens. He could be the next guy to lead the Celtics to 22, 23, 24, 25 straight playoff seasons. You know, you never know. He's a super young guy.
He is, and he's one of the brightest young minds in the NBA. I love him so much. But anyway, another headline that really caught my eye that just happened recently, and I can't tell you how excited I am about it, is the number one recruit of the class of 2022.
The number one high school football recruit.
Yeah, for the class of 2022, who is a quarterback from Texas, recently committed to the flagship university, the University of Texas.
Yeah, I mean, that's a huge addition for the Longhorns. Obviously, we have a senior quarterback. This guy is about to be a junior in high school, and, you know, it's what you want to see from, you know, your team as the upperclassmen leave. You want to see him bring in very talented young guys, and a huge commitment, huge commitment for the Longhorns.
I don't think our audience quite understands the magnitude of talent this guy has. In just his sophomore season, his first year starting on varsity, He threw for 4,000 yards, 45 touchdowns, and 3 picks. Incredible.
Yeah, that's an absolutely immaculate
His sophomore season. How can he drive? Can you drive as a sophomore?
He might have his permit, but I don't know. Yeah, and not to mention he led his team to an unbelievable season.
Yeah, they were one of the top-ranked teams in the entire country last year. And again, a sophomore quarterback. Like, what were we doing our sophomore year?
Not throwing 4,000 yards, no. That's for sure. No. But, yeah, a huge year for him. And what really matters, like I said, is leading his team to a great season. I mean, that's what I look for when it comes to young guys, really. I mean, stats are big, but it's high school football. I want to see someone lead their team to wins. Like, that's the biggest thing that catches my eye. And that's what he's done. I mean, he's an incredibly successful quarterback, and he's got 2 more years in high school to show us what he can do.
Right. He's going to continue to develop in high school. And then, of course, when he gets to UT, he'll have all of the facilities and all the resources available to develop into one of the best young quarterbacks in the country. And it provides us some security for after Sam leaves, because for the longest time with the University of Texas, recently, is the lack of a stable quarterback.
Yeah, just constant quarterback turnover, playing 2 quarterbacks in a season, which has happened more times than I'm comfortable with in the last decade. It's been tough. You know, it's been difficult to watch that go down in Texas football. You know, we've had a lot of really solid quarterbacks, and in the first part of just my experience with Texas football, we had Vince Young that transitioned into Colt McCoy, and
2 of the greatest college quarterbacks ever.
Yeah, and then that transitioned into Garrett Gilbert and David Ash and Case McCoy, which were bottom of the barrel in my opinion.
Yeah, not great to say the least. But this is very good for Texas now, because we have a good quarterback in Sam Ellinger who's entering his senior year. And now we have a guy, 2 years, or I guess a year removed from Sam, who will come in and most likely be the quarterback of the future for the Longhorns.
Yeah, Sam has had incredible success at Texas so far, and he's got another year to go. I mean, he's got a lot of potential for this year, and he's got a lot riding on this year. I mean, I think that he has high expectations for himself coming into the season.
The season could be really big also in terms of his draft value. He's kind of been seen as a, mid-tier quarterback, but if he really shows out this year, he could get drafted earlier and see some time playing on an NFL team.
I think that, he's not going to be anyone's first quarterback on the draft card unless he has a spectacular season. But
and wins the Heisman.
Yeah, well, that's a bit of a stretch, right, at least from what we've seen so far.
Half the teams aren't even playing this season, so.
Yeah, that's a huge asterisk on this coming class. I mean, what happens if he, plays if the Big 12 play in the fall and everyone else plays in the spring? And
you don't have the likes of Michigan, Ohio State playing this year because the Big 10 has completely canceled their season for the fall. So right. These powerhouse schools, we won't get to see them in the fall time.
Right. Same with the Pac-12. That's a huge decision. And I really thought that we'd see the Big 12 follow suit, but they didn't. I mean, they're still committed to playing football in the fall. I guess I shouldn't be too surprised. It is the South, and, we've want seen, our football.
Yeah, we've seen how it's gone in the South with coronavirus cases, and it's not for no reason.
Yeah. What do you think about the SEC? Has the SEC made a decision?
Oh, the SEC is definitely going to play. But if the SEC doesn't play, I will shave my head. I am positive that the SEC is playing.
We have it here on recording. He will shave his head.
Can you imagine the state of Alabama if the Crimson Tide were not playing in the fall?
I just think it'd be really funny if every other conference agreed to play in the spring and the Big 12 was just the odd man out. Going guns blazing in the fall and playing each other, and that's
the national championship was Texas versus Kansas State.
Right.
Yeah. Man, that would be awful.
I just think that would be pure comedy. I would love to see that, but I think the SEC, there's no way the SEC is going to postpone their season, especially if the Big 12 is going to be playing.
Also, being Texas fans, the last couple seasons have been pure comedy, so I've gotten my fair share of that.
So what happens then if the SEC and the Big 12 are the only two that, you know, lace up in the fall? Would we play each other? Would Texas LSU still go on? Maybe we could play A&M?
I think what would happen is Texas would win the national championship and we could rub it into every SEC school's face.
Yeah. That would be best case scenario, I guess.
No, that's going to happen.
Okay. Big predictions here. And maybe, shave his head. I just want to be known that
yes,
that's on the record.
Yes, if the SEC does not kick off, like if they all do not play at least two games, I will shave my head.
Hold him to that.
Okay. I'm confident.
Well, I mean, either way, we're going to see some big games. We're going to see some big matchups in the Big 12. And we're going to see football. I mean, we didn't know, and now we know. We're going to see football in the fall, which is huge. I'm excited.
Yeah, me too. College football is such an important part of, you know, Thanksgiving and leaves falling and autumn and everything.
Yeah.
America.
And for the lazy bums, we'll be covering it and we'll be watching the
Yeah, what would we games. Do if there was no college football?
Talk about tennis? I don't know.
I'm good on that. Might be a lonesome podcast.
With that, we're going to go ahead and stop for a little bit to talk about our sponsor for the podcast. So here's that. All right, so we're going to go ahead and get into high-low, where we cover the highlights and the lowlights of the sporting world, and we're going to be covering some pretty big highlights.
The biggest of which is Damian Lillard, Dame Dalla, Dame... I don't know his other nicknames, but that guy from the Portland Trailblazers.
He's had an absolutely electrifying week, and it's been so much fun to watch. I mean, we knew he was talented. I mean,
on Basketball Reference, he also goes by Sub-Zero.
Okay, Sub-Zero, is that, I don't know what that means.
Big Game Dame.
I suppose because he's number zero. Big Game Dame, obviously.
Logo Lillard. That's it. Anyway, that's continue. It. Go ahead. Right. Those are some awesome nicknames, though.
He deserves all of them.
Right.
Obviously, you know, we were pretty optimistic about his play coming into the bubble. We expected big things from him, and he delivered and then some. Obviously, dropping 55 and then 61 points in back-to-back games of basketball is an achievement, to say the least.
He really channeled... I think everyone kind of saw his inner Mamba. You know, he really... came with that Kobe mentality. He was talking about, they like showed those two interviews of Kobe where he was like, what job? Or like, is the job isn't finished, you know? And that's the same kind of attitude that Lillard was playing with, you know?
Yeah.
He had played great the last couple of games, but his ultimate goal was to take the Blazers to the playoffs, and that he has done.
Yeah. I mean, it's been a success for him. He set out, I mean, I think everyone kind of thought it was a pretty big goal. I mean, it was a pretty... You know, it was going to be a challenge for him to get the Blazers to that point where they would be they just need to win one game of these playing games.
And
they're the standing eight seed.
And how could you pick against Damian Lillard? He's scorching hot. He's playing out of his mind.
Yeah, he's certainly not going to let. I mean, he's just not going to let his foot off the gas, and he's not. He's determined at this point. I don't think there's any single way that anyone gets past him.
And I think
from the Grizzlies.
I think what really sparked his play of recent was the whole altercation with the Clippers. If you guys don't know what happened, he kind of had a, you know, average game for Damian Lillard. He had 22 points, but this is on kind of the lower end of his efficiency and volume. Well, he still had high volume, but his efficiency was a lot lower, and he just didn't have a great game. And at the very end, he missed these two clutch free throws. And what ensued later on social media was pretty crazy.
Yeah. I mean, Damian Lillard obviously is a very passionate guy. We've seen him and we've seen him talk. You know, he talks on the court. You know, it's great to see him out there talking trash and stuff. But when it comes to social media, apparently he's on a whole nother level.
Yeah, so after the game, they asked Lillard a question. They said, you know, a lot of the guys were laughing and, you know, going crazy that after Lillard missed the shots, and he was just saying that he didn't really care because he had sent guys like Paul George and Pat Beverly home before, which he absolutely has in some cold-blooded fashion.
Yeah.
Anyway, but on Instagram, it was posted, and Pat Beverly commented Cancun on three, which he's basically saying you guys are going to get sent home, like be on
Right.
vacation.
Right.
And Paul George also got in on the action and said, you guys are getting sent home this year, respect.
I
But
mean, two just kind of sneak disses, you know. They're not saying anything too crazy, but they're dissing him a little bit.
Lillard came for their neck, and
Yeah.
he replied to Paul George by saying, keep switching teams and running from the grind, you boys is chumps. And, you know, just dissing Paul George after last season hitting a three from mid-court in his face
Right.
to send him home and
Yeah.
waving at him?
I
Like, that
mean,
is the most disrespectful thing you can do to a dude, is wave at him after you send him home in the playoffs.
yeah, and obviously PG has caught a lot of flack for him leaving Indiana and then subsequently leaving the Thunder for the Clippers. Kind of running to that super team and kind of, playing the KD role, and Lillard is certainly calling him out on that, which I'd love to see. I absolutely love to see that.
Yeah, Dame is really one of those guys that doesn't really care about his relationship with you off the court. He really just treats it as a game and goes 100%.
Yeah, he also doesn't really care about where you stand, he doesn't care if you're, Caruso or LeBron James. He's gonna go at you with the same kind of intensity, and he's gonna, especially off the court. I mean, if someone's talking mess about Dame, he's gonna clap back.
Right, he definitely showed that he's not one to be messed with. And he's playing like the bubble MVP, if you ask me.
Certainly. But another guy who maybe some people consider for bubble MVP, and with good reason, is Devin Booker, because he has led his underwhelming, to say the least, Suns team to an 8-0 record in the bubble, which is impressive.
But unfortunately, they will not be making the playoffs.
Or even the play-in.
Right, because obviously the Blazers secured that spot.
And the Grizzlies, the spot underneath them. And so the Suns, with an impressive record and a really impressive attitude, especially from Devin Booker, unfortunately missed the playoffs. I mean, it would have been a great play-in series with them and the Blazers. I think that would have been the one to see, really.
Something really cool I saw from the Suns was after they won their last game. In the locker room, the coach was talking about how they, you know, aren't the same Suns anymore. And I think that's completely true. I mean, they went 8-0, the only bubble team to go undefeated. And I think I saw some odds of them going undefeated, and it was ridiculously low, like
Yeah.
less than 1%.
I mean, time will tell if this really means anything for the future of the Suns.
It
But
will.
it was certainly an impressive performance. And I think that in terms of just like team play, team chemistry, I think the Suns really had the best bubble. They really kept all their players happy. I saw before one of their games, they had family members of the players come in on Zoom calls and do their intros for the game, which I thought was really great, especially since these guys have been separated from their families for so long. It was really cool to see. Like it looked like a real morale boost, and obviously whatever they're doing to boost these players' morale is working. 8-0 in the bubble is certainly something to catch someone's eye.
Yeah, we're really sad we won't see Booker and the Suns again for the rest of the season, but we're excited to see the outlook on this because it might mean that they continue to trend in an upward direction and finally start making the playoffs and maybe
Right.
contending as Devin Booker starts to reach his prime.
Yeah, it might mean Booker stays. It might mean that we'll see a whole new Western Conference, really. And it's exciting to see. It's exciting to see turnover like that,
He's a future MVP, I think.
I hope so. I mean, I really hope we see him reach his full potential, but over the recent years at Phoenix, he has not reached his full potential, and it's the outlook on whether or not he will reach his full potential has been pretty bleak.
Yeah, they just need to surround him with some better pieces, and I think
I
that.
like Ayton. I really like Ayton for him. I think they work well together. It's a shame he's been injured for so long. He's a great young player. really compliments Devin. I think the Suns have a great thing going, but I also would respect Booker's decision if he wants to leave.
Yeah, one of the most versatile scoring guards in the league. And he's just a joy to watch. The way that he plays basketball is so finesse.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, kind of like Kobe.
Right. Well, yeah, and like we covered in the last one, obviously Kobe was a huge role model for him. And
Man, we really talk about Kobe like every podcast episode, and it just.
hasn't really set in yet for
Yeah,
us, I
it's
don't think.
crazy. It's.
And
I don't
we
know.
will honor him every day that we watch basketball. Every time that we cover basketball, we will make sure to honor Kobe Bryant.
Yes, rest in peace, Kobe Bryant, and all those people that lost their lives, obviously. That's something that we will never get over.
Yeah, shook the basketball community. But I think, Kobe has inspired a lot of these young guys to perform at the peak of their game, especially Booker, especially Lillard.
Yeah, we see him continue to live on in those
Right.
players.
Yeah. And, with that, I kind of want to ask you a question about the play-in games and kind of where those four teams that were competing for that spot are. Going to trend towards. What do you think about the Spurs, the Grizzlies, the Suns, and the Blazers? And what team do you think is going to come out of this season with the best momentum going forward?
I think it'll be the Blazers for sure, because I think they're gonna win the play-in game for sure.
Yeah, I think
And
that's a given at this point.
I really do think that they can give the Lakers a tough time. Maybe they even steal a couple games. I would be very excited to see it, and
Yeah.
I think it would be a really intriguing series with good guard play. But yeah, I definitely think the Blazers are going to have the best outlook after this. They've really shown some heart.
Yeah.
A lot of good young players like Gary Trent Jr. showing up. Carmelo Anthony has been huge for them as a role player. It's just great to see the Blazers, honestly.
Yeah, certainly the best immediate outlook goes to the Blazers. I mean, obviously they're gonna give the Lakers a hard time. I mean, I think out of those four teams, the one that I, imagined going into that series and maybe challenging was the Blazers. I mean, the Suns, I thought Booker could maybe do something against the Lakers, but the Blazers were really the team that I was looking forward to, that 8 seed.
I just don't think that you want to run into a historically hot scorer right now. Do you know what I mean? Like, as the Lakers, you don't want to run into someone who's on an all-time streak.
Yeah, especially if that guy happens to be Damian Lillard, because he once he gets hot in a game, he's unguardable.
Absolutely. That's going to be so exciting.
Yeah, very excited. But I mean, to say something about the Blazers, I do like their young talent, and obviously Dame is going to carry that franchise into better and better spots in postseason, and I'm excited to see what he does. But I really think that from what I saw in bubble play, the Suns, or honestly the Grizzlies, might have the edge in terms of long-term just success over these next few seasons. They really looked like lively. I mean, it was a really impressive showing from Ja and Jaren Jackson, of course, before he got injured.
I definitely see why you can see the Grizzlies having a really good outlook, because Ja Morant has played incredibly and Jaren Jackson Jr. has been huge for them
Yeah, he
also.
was the one
He's
that really
so
surprised me.
promising, honestly,
Yeah, he
like
developed such a nice 3-point shot, and that's something that I didn't think he would develop that to the point that he has. Like, a power forward that can shoot the three obviously is what's coming in the changing game, but
he's
apart from
like
Anthony Davis, I mean, he is nice with the three.
Yeah, he looks like a dinosaur and he can like pass the ball really well. It's crazy. He's unbelievable.
Yeah, I'm excited to see if the Grizzlies keep those two guys together. I think it'll be really good for them.
It's really great to see how much talent, how much young talent there is in the NBA to, continue the greatness. Do you know what I mean? Like,
Right.
there's so many young guys that are just so good, and in a couple years they're really gonna break out. Jaren Jackson Jr. also being one of those guys, and his teammate Ja obviously being one of those guys too.
Yeah, it's a very exciting time to be a basketball fan. I know we say that a lot, but it is a very exciting time to be a basketball fan. And if anything, the bubble has put an exclamation point on that. And we're very excited to cover it. We're very excited to see it. And yeah, good looking out on basketball.
With that being said, we're going to wrap this episode up.
Thank you so much for listening. And if you would, follow us on Spotify, follow us on the Apple Podcasts app. Check out the podcast on YouTube. Go and follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and check out our Anchor and Patreon, where you can donate and keep the podcast running.
And get some very nice exclusive content.
Yeah, that will be on the Patreon. And thank you again.
Goodbye.